Thank the Lord this morning we have a good Savior, don't we? We have a good Savior. We have a Jesus who saves. And we also, he has given us such good, showing us a good way to go, hasn't he? The things that he teaches are right. They're right and they're truth. This is my speaker on, I think it is, maybe not. I'm not sure. Is everything okay back there? Does it sound okay? Can you hear me? Okay. I guess something I could do is raise my voice a little bit. Maybe that would help. Yeah. Well, thank the Lord. We're glad to be here with you. It's one of the things we've wanted to do is come see you all again. And we have a grandson that was a great grandson that was up here, born up here, and so we've longed to come see Bryce, our new grandson. So that was a blessing. Thanks for inviting us. Yes. Well, this morning, I've been blessed for a number of weeks by a book I was reading, and I just really appreciated the writings of this book. And I'm not going to preach out of this book, but I would like to just tell you that there's a vision that is coming out of that, that I think that we need, that possibly we've lost some vision in. And I think that if we could see again, understand again the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, we would get pretty excited about it. We'd get pretty excited about it. Knowing the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. The world has got a wrong vision of religion anymore because of the churches not having. I think the churches, many of the churches are cooled off and have kind of lost the vision, and sometimes we lose our way, and we can completely lose our way if we're not careful. There's many churches around us that I think at one time they knew what they had, and they knew where their salvation was, and they knew how it took, what it took time, or it took to have a victorious life. But they too have lost it. And we too can lose it if we don't cling to the truth or to the real vision that Christ has for us, has given us. I think before we go farther, I'd just like if we could pray. Maybe if you don't mind just kneeling, if you can. If we could kneel for prayer. Lord Jesus, this morning we come to you. We know that of ourselves we don't have much to offer. But Lord, we've been redeemed by the precious blood, and you've saved us, Lord, and we have come here to bow before you, our God, our Savior, our King, the one who only is able to save us. And I thank you this morning that as we look at the Bible, and we look at your truth, and we could recapture a vision that would cause us to see Jesus and see his power and his grace.
So bless us today. Help me, dear God. I don't know just how to share some of these things, but I pray that you would bring the gospel out today. May you be our guide today. May your Holy Spirit direct our thoughts and our way. I thank you so much for your mercies to us. And we just pray that you'll bless us today with your presence. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
This book is entitled Salvation Full and Free. How many of you know or have read that book, Salvation Full and Free? You've read it. It's heard of it. It is written by a Daniel E. Mast. He was born back in 1842. And he was an Amish man that lived in Holmes County, Ohio, and moved to Kansas, Hutchinson, Kansas. And he seemed to have a vision that I hadn't read this before very much in it, but he had a vision that he wanted to bring to his people, to the Amish people. And this is, I just want to read one portion of this and the introduction that really caught my eye, and I just thought it was really good. He writes here in the introduction, "We need to recapture the Anabaptist vision of the 16th century, but we also need to return to the apostolic vision of the primitive church." You know, we hear a lot of talk about recapturing the Anabaptist vision, and we're Anabaptists. We believe that this is what they stood for, and this is what we want to stand for and all that. But I think we ought to go one step farther back and recapture the apostolic vision, the ones that the apostles who walked with Jesus, we need to recapture that vision, the vision that those apostles had, the vision that the apostle Paul had when he saw lost humanity, when he saw the Savior, when he saw the love of God from heaven that came down and touched his life and changed him. He writes on here, "The waters are purest at the fountain's head, but are subject to pollution by all manner of impurities as they flow through the centuries of Christianity. History is known to repeat itself, and history of the Christian church is no exception to this rule. It flourishes under persecution and falls in decay during times of religious tolerance. The blood of the martyrs has always been the seed of the church, and it always will be. By the use of the term churchianity as employed in the preceding paragraph, we certainly do not wish to minimize the witnessing potential of the Christian church in the world. But we must remember that the only church who bears a living testimony to the divine sonship of Jesus Christ, on which testimony he has built his church," in Matthew 16, verse 13 and 18, "and is able to convince the world that he is the Son of the living God, is a united body of believers, which the writer to the Hebrews calls the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn, which are written in heaven," Hebrews 12, verse 23. "Jesus established his church on principles of charity and unity. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." In John 17, he prayed the Father that his disciples might be so united that the world could believe that the Father had sent him. If the church needs to be united to make its witness to the world effective, then the reader may draw his own conclusion on the probable witnessing value of our numerous church factions and its attendant mistrust, wrangling, and prejudice. The invisible Church of Jesus Christ, his true bride, does not consist of numerous sects who refuse to have anything to do with each other. The Holy Spirit is not the author of such confusion. That sounds pretty plain, doesn't it? But reality is reality, isn't it? We have numerous sects that won't have anything to do with one another. But that wasn't the vision of the early church. When they gathered in that upper room in Acts chapter 2, where they gathered, it says they were of one accord when the Holy Ghost came upon them. When the Holy Spirit came down, they were of one accord. Praise God. But Lord, here we are today, and we confess that we are numerous sects and divisions in that. Lord, I pray this morning that we would just catch a vision of that again and be united with one heart and soul, because it's vital. It's so vital to the salvation of souls. It's vital to the world, to the salvation of the souls in this world. We look out in this world today and we see people that are troubled, people that are lost, people that are indulging in wickedness and sin to the point where they even openly profess to be Satanists and followers of Satan. I have a son that's in prison. Some of you may not know that, but I have a son that's in prison. But he became a Christian before he got there. He was professed to be a Christian, but he fell into deep sin and did wrong things. But he totally repented, and the things that he calls and talks to us about and writes, one of the things that he just recently said, he said, 85% of the people, of the men that are in his prison, are on drugs. They use some kind of drugs to calm themselves, to control themselves, or to ease the pain that they're going through. And that leaves only 15% of the people that don't use drugs. And he said there are many that their minds are ruined. And if you go out and look at the souls on the streets, it's that way too. There are many that their minds are ruined, their lives are ruined. And many of them, the sad part is they've used drugs to where it dulled their brains and they can't think right anymore at all. It's sad, but humanity is really being destroyed by drugs and evil powers. And that's a picture. Sin is a horrible taskmaster. If you have sin in your life, it's a terrible thing. And it destroys you. It destroys me if I'd allow sin to dwell in my soul. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's a very simple remedy, isn't it? So this morning, I just want to share with you again that salvation is full and salvation is free. Amen. Salvation is full, salvation is free, just like he's entitled the book. It's free and it's full. You can have a full salvation. It's a beautiful gospel. I was thinking of this scripture back in Psalms 103, which often was quoted. I remember when the preachers would often quote that back in the Amish church, but always before they would start the sermon or start their, when they'd get up to start preach, they'd read these verses. Bless the Lord, O my soul. It's in English, but this is what it said. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses and his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy to them that fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from him. You know, and that's not just for me and you. It's for all the world. These people that are racing down the road. These people that are on drugs. These people that are lost. Those Muslims that don't know Jesus. Jesus laid down his life and redeemed them from their sins too. If the price is paid for them, there's a full salvation there for them. They don't know it. They don't understand it. I didn't understand it. When I was a boy, I didn't understand those things either. But I knew I was lost. I knew I was a sinner. And that most of these folks know they're not living right. They're not doing what God created them for. They know that when they die, they'll go to hell. They know that. I knew it. I was scared to die. Maybe you're here this morning sitting that way and you're scared. I want you to know something. God made a way for not that you don't have to be lost, but you need to repent. You need to turn around. You need to give your life to him who gave his life for you. He gave his life for you. I don't think we understand this one. This one scripture, we don't understand this unless we see how utterly lost we are. We are utterly lost without Christ. If you're here today and you're utterly lost, let me tell you, it's not a safe place to stay. You will die and you don't know when. You will perish if you live in sin. God does not take sinners to heaven. He redeems them and takes away their sin. He cleanses them from sin. And we need something that will do it. And he provided a way for us. He's the prize that we should be looking for. In Matthew chapter 13, it says here in verse 44,
The kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy goeth and sell all that he hath and buyeth that field. He sells all that he has, brother. There Jesus came out again, saying, sell all that you have. And here he says, here's a man that found a treasure. He found a pearl. He knew it was in this field. He found this treasure in this field. And he knew that was worth more than anything that he had. And he sold all that he had to buy that field. And then again in verse 25 or 45, it says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. And when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he hath to buy that pearl. To me, that's saying he found something that was more than anything else that he had ever looked for in life. And I remember the day when I found that pearl. That pearl that I found was Jesus Christ. There was a cost. There's a cost to follow Jesus. And you're going to need to pay the whole price. All you got. Give all you got for him. That's the only way. That's the only way to really receive him. Is pay the whole price. But it's a beautiful life. In John 1, let me turn to that. John 1, it says here, that's the Gospel of John. It says here in verse 10, he was in the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Hallelujah. He, even to them that believe on his name, even to them that believe on his name, we haven't seen him, but we believe on him. We believe on his name. We believe that he is our salvation, and he gives us power. Even when we believe on Jesus Christ himself, his name, we become. He gives us power to become. Yes. He gives us power to become the sons of God. You can be a son of God. He gives us power to become the sons of God. I like that song. We have a heavenly Father above. We have a heavenly Father above. Jesus taught his disciples to pray, our Father, which art in heaven. Do you have a Father in heaven? Do you have a heavenly Father? Who is your Father? We have a heavenly Father. We're born of God. He gives us power to be born of God. He gives us power to be new creatures. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He gives us power to be overcomers of sin. He gives us power to be full of the love of God. He gives us power to be a peaceful people, to be a restful people. We can be restful. peaceful, joyful, happy people.
We can be, he gives us the power to be long-suffering, kind, gentle-hearted, pure-minded, soft-hearted. Do you have a pure mind and a soft heart? A merciful heart, compassionate, and full of glory. Your soul is full of glory. You know, those are all things that come out of this salvation that he has provided. This salvation that's full, this salvation that's free. A full salvation. None can describe the bliss of the true-hearted, redeemed soul. Salvation is full. Salvation is free. None can describe the bliss. I prove. Isn't there a song like that? That's where those thoughts came to me. None can describe the bliss I prove. You know, brothers and sisters, that is what the church is made up of. That's what the church, true church of Jesus Christ is made up of, people like that. Wow. If we are new creatures, transformed, overcomers of sin, full of the love of God, peaceful, restful, gentlemen, joyful, merciful, long-suffering, kind-hearted, pure-hearted, pure-minded. And when you find a loving, passionate people like that, you found the Church of Jesus Christ. Yes, the body of believers that the Bible describes. And these were the things that those early, this was the vision that those apostles had, I believe. When they became Christians, when they became followers of Jesus Christ, things changed in their life, and there was light coming out of that church. There was beauty coming out of that church. People had never seen anything like it, and honestly, before I was a Christian, I hadn't seen anything like it either. I remember the first time we went to a church that was on fire for God and loved the Lord, and those people, we drove there with a horse and buggy, and I remember on the way home, we said, wow, wow, that was so different. It was so beautiful. And we didn't know there was such a place on earth. And here it was only 5 miles from where we lived. You know something? That is the light and the testimony that God wants us to have. He wants us to have that testimony. And Lord, forgive us, but I feel we've fallen away from some of those things. We've become maybe more judgmental, or we've not been merciful, we've not been gentlemen, we've not been able to understand and help one another like we should. God, help us. Revive us. Bring us back to that. I remember many a church service where people became Christians there. Revivals. Many people became Christians because they saw something. They felt the Spirit of God there. A heavenly body of believers whose names are written in the book of life. Is your name written in the book of life? Is it written in heaven? Who sit together in heavenly places? I can still remember one brother getting up and reading that scripture in 2 Ephesians chapter 2. Just read that scripture, and that just made it just felt like this is a heavenly place. And it was on a Wednesday evening, by the way. It wasn't even on a Sunday morning. So Wednesday evenings were where we had gathered together to pray. Those were beautiful times. Well, we can be rich, brother, rich in mercy, rich in kindness, rich in the virtues of the Spirit of God, rich in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Hallelujah. These are the ones who are poor in spirit, but rich in love, rich in courage, leave a fragrance of Christ everywhere they live. And they're true believers. They're bold as a lion, brother. They're unashamed of the gospel of Christ. You know, those apostles, those early apostles, those followers of Jesus Christ, many of them died kind of young. They died young because they were unashamed of the gospel of Christ. They knew that this is what God wanted every soul to experience. And God was not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And this is the gospel. This is the good news. This is what the world needs. This is what all of us need. Are we experiencing this kind of life? No, and their light shined Jesus everywhere. Satan couldn't hide their light under the bushel because I think the light was so strong, the fire was so hot that it burned the bushel up. So he couldn't, and that's the way it should be. The truth of God is so vibrant and so true and so bright that it can't be hid under a bushel. Don't try to even hide it under a bushel. I remember, I don't know why these things happen, but a number of times back in those days when we were on fire for God, things happened. But I remember times, one time I walked out to a lake where a man was sitting and he said, and I don't know, I never saw him before, never talked to him. He said, I know you read your Bible. How did he know? He never saw me read my Bible. But he said, can you tell me, is Moses a brother to Jesus? Was he a brother? I can't read. I don't know. I've never read the Bible, but was Moses a brother to Jesus? And you know, and so I tried to explain a few things to him, but how did he know I was a Christian? You know, these are just questions. Just this week I was up, my phone broke down or went blank, and so I got another phone. Somehow this man started talking, sharing with me that, and I don't know just how we got on this subject. We were talking a little bit about our home life and that. Anyhow, he said, I go to this church, and he loves this preacher. He said, this preacher just preaches Jesus all the time. He preaches about Jesus. He's just a Jesus man. And I said, well, you know what? That's good. That's the gospel. And that's what we all need to hear. We need to hear about Jesus and about what he can change in our lives. We need to hear that. It's a light. Jesus is to be exalted. Glory to be to Jesus. He is to be exalted. There ought to be a glory among his followers because they're gloriously saved. And the glory should just be there. And I confess that I'm not always a glorious person to be around. And yet Jesus did save my soul. And I want to repent from all of that.
Jesus is a beautiful, it's a beautiful gospel of Jesus when it's that way. Oh, what an awesome moment when we can see what transformation comes to us out of a sin-sick soul, to see that misery that crippled the future of a poor lost soul. You know, when you see someone who is on the verge of ruin, has ruined their life, and Jesus saves them, it's the most beautiful thing to see him, see that person come out with new hope, new joy, and a new life, hating sin and loving Jesus Christ and finding a purpose in life. You know, many people just live their life without any purpose. Do you have purpose in your life? I'll tell you, God has purpose for you. If you don't have purpose in your life, God has a purpose for you. He has a purpose for me. I can't always say what I want to say, but I know that he has a purpose for my life. It's the saving power of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Salvation full and free for the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And I think that's one of the key things, my dear brothers and sisters, in the church. If we stay poor in spirit, the church will be revived. The church will be revived because that's where the Holy Spirit can come down and enrich us and make us to be what he wants us to be. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You want the kingdom of heaven? We want it to be present among us, don't we? We want that. The poor in spirit. Not the rich in spirit, but those who are poor in spirit, those who need Jesus, those who are crying out, I need you, God. I need you, Lord. Those who are driven to their knees with a need. Do you sometimes get to that place where you get driven to your knees? I wonder sometimes if the church today, we don't hardly ever kneel for prayer. Maybe we ought to be driven to our knees to pray, to cry out like that rich young ruler that came to Jesus. You know, there's something in him. He lacked something. And I think he saw that Jesus had it. He knew that Jesus had what he needed. And he was driven to his knees. The church today needs to be driven to their knees. I pray that that'll happen. That every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord, not just over there when they get into eternity, but here today, let every knee bow. Let every tongue confess. Let everyone bow their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ, because in him you find your salvation. In him you can find deliverance. In him you can find peace and joy and purpose to live and direction for our lives. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The poor in spirit are as those who have come under conviction of their sinful and lost condition and have been sick of sin in their lives. The proud in spirit will try to better themselves. They can't accept the fact of their helpless condition. The proud in spirit won't see this. They don't understand this. There's so many of us that are so proud that we can't just quite get through it. You know, we know that Jesus is the way. We know that we need to repent. But there's some things we just kind of can't bring ourselves through it. You know what? We're proud in spirit and we can't get it. You know, it's kind of like stretching for something. And I remember Wayne Weaver used to say this. He said, a lot of times we can only go so far. We just about can get it. But when we get to the place about when we're ready to reach for it and get it, Satan pulls us back. he's got a hold on us. Has Satan got a hold of your life in that way that you just can't quite get it? I remember a man, I sat beside him a long time in church. And his little boy, I remember sitting beside him, and one time he was hearing these gospel messages. He was hearing this truth. And we had him down for a Sunday one time that we invited him to our house. His wife had died. And this man never responded to the gospel. So one Sunday we were talking and I said, Eli, what holds you back? What holds you back? You know, you heard the gospel truth. You heard what you need. What's holding you back? And he said, well, I have some things in my life that I cannot say to anybody. I can't confess them to anybody, or I can't say it out loud, or I just can't say it. I have some things in my life. And you know what that man did? How he ended up? He ended up in prison. He ended up killing himself in prison. That man was lost. But Satan had a grip on him. And he was so close. He was so close. He was there. He heard the message. Today, he's probably, I don't know, I can't say where he's at. I'll leave that up to God. But I'll tell you something. Don't expect to be saved if you kill yourself. Don't expect to be saved if you kill yourself. If you murder yourself, you've died and you cannot repent. It's wrong. It's a horrible thing. Sin is a horrible taskmaster. And you let that thing control you. But we can have the victory. We can have victory over it through Jesus Christ, because he broke the bars of the devil. He broke those prison walls. He broke that grip. How beautiful Jesus is to the poor sinner. The message of hope. This morning I want this to be a message of hope. It's hope for you. You can be saved. You can be changed. Remember, there was a girl that we had, and my wife remembers this, but too. But I remember when she came, she was a miserable little wretch. She was just a little a short girl. But she was a teenager, and she was mad. She was angry. Her parents had brought her down to our place, and she was going to run off, and she was not going to be a Christian. And she was, well, she just wanted to do her own thing. She was an angry little girl. And we didn't know about what to do with this young lady. And so we talked to her, and we tried to explain to her that Jesus could change her life. And she said, I don't think there's any hope for me. Threw herself down on the bed, and she just said, I don't think there's any hope for me. And I looked at her, and I said, this is the first time I have any hope for you since you see that. Yeah, you know what? If you think there's no hope for you, there is. There is hope for you, because that's what you need to see. You cannot help yourself. You cannot better yourself. In your own sight, you cannot make it through. You'll never make it to glory until you see there's no hope for yourself.
Because your hope, the only hope that is for you, is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to save your soul and to deliver you from that hopelessness.
Glory.
Isn't that wonderful? Poor in spirit. Pride will bring us down. We can see the best. Let me tell you, it never stops. Whether you're a Christian or not, you can always see the best once you become poor in spirit. If we are poor in spirit, God opens our eyes and shows us things and helps us to make our way through. We can make it through our painful, sinful past, hopeless bondages, down on our knees, reaching for help. Down on our knees, being poor in spirit, reaching for help. Lord, help me. That kind of salvation, you can be saved, and that's salvation full and free. Praise God. Is that time right? I'm sorry. I have much to share, but I won't share any. I'm going to stop here. I just have one thing to share yet. I would like to just share a little bit about the saving power of prayer. The saving power of prayer. Prayer is what saves us. Prayer is more than getting on our knees. Prayer is an earnest crying out to God. Church, remember, an earnest crying out to God. I don't know how, there's too much I could share on that. I'm sorry. I didn't realize it was that late. Let's pray. Lord, we need you this morning. We need your Holy Spirit. We need your presence. Lord, time is short and life is long, but time is short and you're coming soon. And all of us are bound for eternity. Not one soul in here that's not going to be there. Make that everybody's ready. Save us, Lord, today. Keep us from sin. Even if we're Christians, Lord, we need you to be our Savior every day. Bless these dear people and be with us the rest of this day. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.